Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, and let's sit down and chat about what is happening up in the sky today. It's another beautiful morning here in the Pacific Northwest, cold, crisp, beautiful sky. Again, Mount Rainier visible to me from right outside my bedroom window here. Delightful, delightful, with the exception of the thin layer of ice that, you know, tells you it's cold. It is a beautiful day. So welcome to all of you this morning, and I appreciate you being here and listening to everything that I have to say. And I absolutely love it when you all interact with me as well. So please feel free to tell me what's up in your lives, to let me know what it is that might be bothering you. I want to hear it. Right? I want us to talk about it. I want us to find those common core issues that grieve us all or support us all, make us all joyful, the things that pull us together. Now, I went out on a limb this morning because we had a very interesting talk yesterday about politics and our role as individuals in pushing the country forward into the territory that we really want to see it go. And I had my handy dandy phone this morning, and voila, in the news was an article that caught my attention, right? I don't usually sit and read an entire article. Well, a lot of times I do. It depends on what it's about. And the title of the article was "Polarization is Poisoning America." Now, normally that part wouldn't be so new and I wouldn't care, but then it said, "Here's an antidote." OMG, somebody who actually has a solution, an antidote to the problems that we are experiencing here in this country. But, you know, if it's happening in this country, it's also happening in other countries, this concept of polarization and how it is that we need to come together. And I'm going to be sharing with you a couple of the thoughts that I think he's an opinion writer for CNN. And this man is really quite interesting in the know. I have to look up more about him and see what other opinions he holds. But this one was a good one. So I've put that on the Living Astrology Facebook page for all of you to read. I would love to hear your thoughts on it and see what you think about his ideas. What I found even more striking in that article were the words coming from our own forefathers, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and James Madison, I think was the other one, or maybe it was John Adams. And it perfectly encapsulates the dangers that our democracy would face when we go down the road of polarization, including up to and including foreign influencing our elections. Pretty amazing to hear those words coming from people 240 years ago or so. All right, so let's check in and say good morning to people. I see you, Jana. I see Colleen Jackson. Good morning. And Marjorie Roth and Elisa. Great to see you, ladies. Debbie Hedden, glad you could join us. Marissa, good morning. And Debbie Hedden says, good morning, all. And please continue to write your comments in here, and I will check in periodically and see what is being said. Today, the moon is in Sagittarius. Yay, one of my favorite placements, as Sagittarius is the opposing sign to my very Gemini sun. And when the moon moves through there, I feel energized, I feel informed, I feel bigger, I feel wider, I guess. I feel more engaged in the planet. And it's interesting to watch that happen. It's almost like living in a world of information. And of course, my day started off with that article just right there in my face, right? So let's take a look at what it means when the moon is in Sagittarius. For each of you as individuals, you'll have to find where Sagittarius is in your natal chart. And when you find that, that is the area where the moon will be passing through. And by house placement, you will be able to tell, like, what area of my life is this going to affect? Right? So if it's in your first house, it might be you having personal revelations or a personal optimistic view today. If it's in your eighth house, perhaps there's some kind of transformation that gives you hope and optimism for the future. So wherever this is happening in your own chart is how you can read what some of these energies are and how it would pertain to you. And guess what? If you do not have your own natal astrology chart, I know where you can get one. You can go to my website, www.living-astrology.com, request your free astrology chart. And if you haven't gotten it yet, request your free human design chart. Comes with a little report. Pretty interesting information. I've had so many people tell me that the report is spot on, which is almost scary, right? That a report could be that that accurate. But many people tell me that. So get yours. Okay, Sagittarius moon rules the free spirited nature in every one of us. It connects us to the land, to nature, to the animals and the plants and all of the natural world. Here in this sign, we are travelers, right? We travel, whether we are literally physically traveling around the world and visiting other cultures, or whether we do that through books or interactions or our club affiliations, or the people that live in our neighborhood, however it is that we do this, we are engaging in looking at a wider view of the world that we live in, including adventure and the exploration and discoverer parts of you, the people, the person inside of you that wants to go on the hero's quest or who is embarked upon a hero's quest. That is what the moon will highlight when it's in the sign of Sagittarius. And lest you believe that you're not on a hero's quest, let me disavow you of that right now, because every one of us human beings are on this planet and in some way engaged in a quest. And the hero's journey, right, that journey from birth to death that takes us through winding roads and brings us information and awareness and love and joy and emotional happiness and emotional disasters at times. All of that juicy stuff that we experience as human beings is our hero's quest. And Sagittarius moon triggers that for us, right? We may see ourselves embarking on something new or the next level in our journey to find the true answers to our biggest questions. Knowledge seeking. Sagittarius goes deep. The whole axis, Gemini and Sagittarius, loves information, loves the internet, loves to be exchanging ideas. And I do this with you guys. I read things, I share them. I love that idea. Sagittarius knowledge seeking takes it even deeper, or maybe should I say even higher. It rules higher education. It rules all of the education that you receive outside of those 12 years of primary education from, you know, grade kindergarten to 12th grade. So if you go to college, if you go to technical school, if you just go out and learn certifications or whatever it is that you learn from the time that you leave school is your quest for higher education. And the moon in Sagittarius also brings us to moral conscience. Moral conscience. I was having a totally interesting conversation with my son yesterday about politics, and he had sent me an article, and the article was, it was not the kind of article I would typically read because it was, you know, very polarizing in its content. And yet there was some truth to it that made me feel like, wow, there was a moral consciousness running through it. Not necessarily a moral consciousness that I approve of or that I really wanted to engage in, but I could see where that moral is coming from, you could say. And it reminded me of times past in the 80s where we had this moral majority thing going on. I believe it was born out of the epidemic, the AIDS, HIV epidemic, and how the backlash against that was that there was some form of vengeance from God because of, you know, immorality. And so there began this movement, this moral majority. And I thought that was a very slippery slope for us to go down, right? Because it marginalized sections of our population. So when we have the moon moving through a place like Sagittarius, we have to identify those places within us where we think we're being moral or we're taking some kind of moral high ground. And what is that moral high ground? Is it separating you from other people? Does it make you feel better? Does it make you feel less fearful because you have the right, correct? So Sagittarius sometimes can get us over into that self-righteousness based on that moral consciousness that we want to, you know, grab and take hold of and be right, right? That often that knowledge, that truth that we believe that we hold can be used as a weapon for making yourself right and others wrong. So we want to watch for that when the moon, or any planet for that matter, Jupiter has been crystallizing this for us over the last year as he was moving through the sign of Sagittarius as well. We've already been looking at and identifying those places where that is happening. Thus, the reason polarization and division is one of the big hot button things that we are experiencing right now here in the US, but I dare say it's likely being experienced around the world. As far as knowledge seeking is concerned, Sagittarius also rules our spiritual wisdom, the real, true spiritual wisdom, the things that you can't shake, right? The things that don't, the things that stand the test of time, things like love, things like sisterhood, brotherhood, things like togetherness and unity and joy. These are things that bring us together. These are the spiritual wisdom, the nuggets that we learn through our life, the things that we feel are important, the things that we know are important. Our common core values, I believe, also fall into that spiritual wisdom. And as we grow and we mature and we age and we evolve our consciousness, hopefully we come to a form of spiritual wisdom. We can look back across our life even and see where we did not hold that kind of wisdom in our youth, and we can see how far we've come. And so that's a definite part of the moon in Sagittarius energy, or again, literally any planet moving through Sagittarius. And even Jupiter, the planet that rules Sagittarius, can also trigger that same kind of need to be more broad-minded, to look at your horizon in a different way, to elevate your thinking wherever it is transiting through your chart in whatever sign it is in. Right now, it just happens to be in the sign that it rules. So we have a real affinity for looking for those big truths and for seeking knowledge and wisdom. Okay, checking in real quickly. Any questions going on? Oh, comments. Here we have Annette. Good morning. And you're new, Annette. Welcome. It's great to see you out there amidst humility. I love it. Rebecca, good morning to you. Suzanne and Stevens, lovely to see you. Colleen and Rebecca. Colleen McSpirit says, good morning. Sorry, I'm late. I was listening to real life ghost stories and forgot the time. I have real life ghost stories that I could share. Maybe someday we can do that. Maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow's the 31st. We could share real life ghost stories. If you have a real life ghost story, share it with us tomorrow. I'm not sure how we could all do that, but it will be kind of fun to do that. Okay, the next thing that the moon in Sagittarius rules is our openness to life, our opening up our arms and embracing all that life is, our faith in the process, our faith that our lives will be better, right? That we will come through the storms that life presents us, that we will come through stronger, wiser, and more with more wisdom to pass on to our younger generation. Openness to life includes being friendly and engaging in conversation with people and embracing the sociable nature that we all have somewhere within us. Sagittarius is more spontaneous than other signs. So there's a spontaneity in embracing life or in embracing one another. And also on that is the need, the desire for Sagittarius to be helpful, to feel useful, to want to make a contribution to the world in some way. Now, of course, then we also have a couple of things to watch out for, right? Every sign has its high energy and the lower form of the energies. And in Sagittarius, Sagittarians sometimes miss the nuances, the underlying things that are going on between people or in a situation, because they're big picture people. The moon in Sagittarius sees the big picture, wants to see the forest, not just the trees, and then they miss the trees or the little animals that are underneath the trees, right? It'd be like looking at a forest and seeing dollar signs, but then forgetting the impact that you cutting down that forest might have on the ecology of the or the environment. So we have to be able to see the big and the small. Don't miss the details today in the next couple of days while the moon is transiting through this part of the chart. Sagittarians, we all know and love them, but they can be very blunt, right? So the moon in Sagittarius, our emotions can get triggered. The moon rules emotion. And then we can just speak without the filter and it becomes blunt talk, which can then, you know, hurt people's feelings or create an argument or a situation where people end up in a conflict. So we want to be watchful for our words for the next couple of days, that we don't just blurt out the things that are coming up in your mind, right? Got to have a little bit of a filter there. There's nothing wrong with being truthful. Let me switch this over a little bit to a human design perspective, because there's nothing wrong with the fact that Sagittarius wants to speak the truth, because that's what we really need. We really need the truth. The problem comes in when we speak that truth to someone in blunt ways and without their permission. So if you have something important that you need to say to somebody, the wisdom here would be to ask first. I really need to let you know something. Are you open to hearing what I have to say? If they say no, then you just have to zip your lip, right? They don't want to hear it. They're not going to accept it. They're not going to hear it in or feel it in the spirit in which you were trying to offer it to them. So in that case, it's much better to just be quiet. So if you have something to say, request permission from that person to be able to say it. Otherwise, you risk hurt feelings, etc. And other people may be also, it's not just you all out there doing that to other people. You may be on the receiving end of that. So remember that some people just are not listening to this morning show. They are not in the know. They have no clue what is happening. And they may indeed upset you from what they say. And it would be an unconsciousness within them that would create that. So I guess your job then is to try to stay out of reaction and wait to respond to what that person is saying to you, perhaps. And one last thing to watch out for with the moon in Sagittarius is sometimes we skip steps with the moon in Sagittarius. We forge right ahead without having all the facts or knowing all the details. Again, it's kind of related to that bluntness, that missing the nuance, right? We can just forge ahead. We don't have all of the information. And then we find out later that we have to go backwards. Seems sort of like a manifesting generator energy here that can rise up in Sagittarius. They're moving. They see the whole picture, right? They've got the whole picture. They're not so good at taking the individual steps to complete the picture, right? They jump ahead, kind of like manifesting generators. But manifesting generators are designed to be that way and only go back if they need to. Sagittarius energy, though, when they do that, often find that they've missed something important and they need to go back. So don't miss out on the important information, the details, because you're so focused on the big picture. Be focused on the big picture, but remember, sometimes you need those details as well. All right, that's moon in Sagittarius. How's everybody doing out there with the information? Does it resonate with you somewhere in your own life? Do you see? I think I have, my Sagittarius sits mostly in the fifth house of children and family, and it's kind of starts in Scorpio and then transitions over to Sagittarius. So it's about, you know, joy. I love traveling with my family. We have trips that we do together. We spend a lot of time together, and there's quite a number of us, and we love to do that. And it's one of my favorite things to do. Sagittarius on my fifth house of children and love and romance, etc. So wherever that is in your chart, if you have questions about that, feel free to ask me as well. All right, let's take a look at what the moon is doing today in terms of connections to other planets. For one thing, squaring the moon today. And I think that's one of the reasons why this article that I put up there, I posted for you about polarization, came up today. Because the moon is our soul. It is the soul of humanity. In a mundane astrology chart, the moon represents our connection to the public. So it would be the collective, right? So what is the collective feeling? Well, the collective is likely feeling this energy of division and polarization, and somebody feels the opening and moves in with an article eloquently speaking to just that topic. It raises our vibration to be able to read things like that or to see that bared in front of us. And then we can choose what we do with that. Neptune, remember, for 2020, is the outlier, right? It's the one planet that wasn't figured in previous epochs where we had this kind of signature that's going on in 2020. And so it's the wild card, right? Neptune is playing a role. What's that role that Neptune is playing? Well, the emphasis for Neptune is on spirit. It is on our beliefs. It is on rising to unconditional love. So whenever we see Neptune now, I want you to think, is this something that we're working on that is going to move us forward toward being more loving and more kind and more united and more together, right? The other energy for the moon today is in a sextile to Mars. Mars, often the aggressor, the planet of action and dynamic motion forward. And with the sun in Scorpio right now, Mars is the ruler of Scorpio. So the sun and Mars are related. And now we're seeing that the moon and Mars are related here. So if we just pull enough threads, we can see that we have a way forward, right? We have a way forward in our lives, in our personal lives, in our jobs, in our health, in our wealth, whatever it is that you're struggling with and working on. We just have to be ready to take those steps when they're presented to us. As we've been talking about for the last several weeks, we've been in the fear field since about the beginning, the last week, was it, of September. We will still be experiencing those fear gates all the way through the early part of December. So we're having to look at all of those things that have been holding us back. All of those things, those stumbling blocks, right? The boulders in the road of your success that you are tempted to ignore. And I'm saying we got to move through them, right? Remember, fear, as soon as you feel it and you move through it, it evaporates or dissipates and hopefully never to return in the same way, correct? Hopefully never to return at all. But we won't know until we push through. So the moon today in a sextile to Mars, offering up the push through sort of energy that can help us along the way to getting where we want to go in our lives. Colleen, a question. Does moon and Sag make an easier flow for manifesting generators? That is a really good question. It's a possibility, right? It is a possibility that the moon in Sagittarius can trigger more of their spontaneous actions and reactions to things. Is that positive or is that not so positive? I guess that depends on the person and what it is they're trying to achieve versus what it is that's been holding them back. I think sometimes here there may be a real juggling that goes on for manifesting generators. And if they're juggling too much or they're juggling the wrong things, it could be the whole, you know, kit and caboodle falls to the ground and affords them the opportunity for a restart or a redo. Don't forget, we're in the shadow of tomorrow's Mercury going retrograde too. So this energy may trigger some reevaluation on manifesting generators in their lives and what it is they're focusing on. Perhaps they'll be able to release some things and move forward into the right things, the things that are correct for them. But that's going to be individual as well, Colleen, because everybody's human design chart has a different authority and is set up in a little bit different way. But generally speaking, yeah, I think it does make for an easier flow. Does that mean it's an easier flow for the positive, though? Or is it more that we could keep going down the wrong road? I guess that depends on the person and where they are in their lives and that kind of thing. But great question. Thank you for asking that. If we turn now to looking at the Pleiadian Earth energy for the day, we are today at 12 planting. And for those of you who are new or haven't been listening in a while, we are going daily. We talk about, or at least Monday through Friday, we talk about the Pleiadian Earth energy. In that system, which was gifted from the Pleiadian star system to the people of Earth, and likely is the basis, forms the basis of the Mayan calendric system. And we every day also talk about what the Mayan calendar energy is. The energy today would be Khan, which is the seed, the planting of the seed. In the Pleiadian Earth energy, as in the Mayan calendar energy, there were two numbers. The first one represents, or two pieces of information. The first one, a number. The second one, a word or a symbol. And the number represents the universal energy of the day. So all life forms on all planets and all systems within our solar system would be resonating with this particular energy. And today's energy is 12, which is the energy of understanding. It is a day to see into the depth. Very Sagittarius, if you ask me. That's why I have really enjoyed doing this, because there's such coherence going on between what we see in the stars through astrology, what we see through human design, what we see through the gene keys, and now what we also see through the Pleiadian Earth energy. The 12 is helping us to see into the depths and to see out into the breadth of things, the width of things, the biggest expression of things, and broadening our horizons, right? That's the number 12. The energy of planting is about feeling lucky. Do you feel lucky, right? Jupiter, luck, Sagittarius, luck. Today, 12, planting, very lucky energy, energetic energy, high energy, good for new things, good for starting things. We're still, you know, likely close enough to the window of the new moon that you can still take action steps toward what you have set as an intention. And one thing we do watch out for with Khan energy or planting energy is that it is immature energy. It is very youthful. It reminds me very much too of Aries. And that youthful dynamic, that, you know, devil may care sort of attitude that is often based in immaturity, youthful folly, and all of that. So we want to watch out for that type of thing where, especially, and it doesn't mean that you're immature necessarily, but you may take action on things before their time. Right? That's a part of this as well. When we plant something, you can't dig it up every day and look at it and see if the seed is sprouted, right? You're going to kill it. It's not going to grow. So we have to allow time to work its magic on our ideas that we've planted and let them go through their process. So this is planting energy, not harvesting energy. I hope that makes sense to everybody, right? So today, plant something, but don't go digging it up every day to see what it's doing, because you're going to kill it, right? You kill it. Colleen, I think it's positive. Yes, I think it is positive. Kathy says, can't find comment. Anyway, good morning. No motivation and feel very stuck. What are you feeling stuck in, Kathy? Kathy, you are a Pisces, so maybe it's Neptune just causing a little bit of a reevaluation of your next steps. I don't know. But what do you feel? Tell us what you feel stuck in. And, you know, sometimes I think, and this is just me thinking, so I don't know if this has to do with you or not, Kathy. But if it does, then maybe it will help you. Sometimes I think we interpret being stuck when we don't have a mile-long to-do list and we are not active, where we have not much to do. So we're sitting in with our thoughts and we're sitting in beingness. We're so familiar with doing, right? That's, you know, we over-focus on the doing in our lives, that then when it comes to the space that we can just be, we get uncomfortable there. we interpret it as being stuck or as being bored or as having nothing to do. But in reality, it could just be the universe affording you the opportunity to rest and relax and maybe to do some spiritual work, maybe do some reading or something, you know, more quiet where you're just in the moment, in the energy of being. Now, sometimes, of course, we are stuck. Sometimes we feel or we interpret that we don't know what to do as being stuck. You're never stuck for long, right? The universe sometimes just puts us in this holding pattern until the next things are ready, where the next circumstances all come together to open the pathway for our next steps. And sometimes that takes a while. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's just a day or so. Sometimes I've had it where it's been weeks. And even a couple, last year, I went through months worth of that kind of feeling. So I get it. It's not fun, but be, just be, dare to be instead of daring to do. Amy, good morning. Marissa says, a plateau can feel like being stuck. That's what happens to me sometimes, right? If you're a generator or a manifesting generator, you go through these periodic peaks and valleys or plateaus where let's back up for a second. The whole purpose for generators and manifesting generators is to master something. You're builders, you are creators, and you're here to build something and to master it, whether that's a business, a family, a project, and that's what you're here to do. Wash, rinse, and repeat. You're here to build something and to master it, and then you keep moving on. Well, in the energetic role of generators and manifesting generators, you could constantly feel like you're just going, 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 and growing, 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 growing. But if you don't take the time, if the universe didn't create the plateau, the space for you to move through quiet energy, you would never integrate everything that you've learned. And part of mastering anything is the action and the integration. The action, the growth, the learning, and then the integration. So the plateau energy for generators and manifesting generators takes you to that quiet space where there isn't much going on so that you have time to integrate everything that you learned. And then when the moment's right, when you are usually at your most frustrated, that is the universe's signal to you that it is about to shift and you will again move back upward until you have gone through a period of time, and then you will again find yourself on that plateau. From my observation of people in their lives, the length of time spent on the plateau is roughly equivalent to how much you've learned in the previous months, days, and weeks. So if the learning curve has been fairly steep, you're likely going to have a longer period on the plateau because it takes longer to really get into the depth of everything that's been going on for you. And sometimes we grow in spurts, right? And then your plateau may be a shorter one because the spurt happened and then you've gotten onto the plateau. There is no formula to tell you exactly how long that may be. You just go through it. You could look at these stuck times, stuck in quotes, as times where you are incubating what comes next. It isn't apparent yet to you what comes next because it's in the void. It's in the womb and it hasn't quite yet solidified into an actionable step. So we go through those periodic times where we're swinging through that action and no action, the doing and the being. So I hope that helps for those of you who are out there knowing that your generators are manifesting generators, or even for some of you who, like Marissa, feel that like the plateau feeling is making you feel sort of stuck. Amy, always hate when I oversleep. Oh, it's okay, sweetie, because remember, this is recorded. So all you have to do is go back and listen to the parts that you missed. Kathy Miller says, I have an issue I need to deal with and don't want to. Ah, you're right. I will get out of it. This too will pass. This sounds weird. I am not a person who enjoys too much sun and nice weather. I love the rain and storms. I feel energized. That's why we live in the Pacific Northwest, Kathy, because we love the rain. We love the storms. We love all of that that comes with the green verdantness of the area that we live in. Debbie Hedden, love your explanation. I absolutely need to be to just be often. Yes, you do, Debbie, because you're a reflector, right? Reflectors need a lot of time for rest because you're picking up so much energy from all around you. It can really fritz your system. And you're taking this in because all of your centers are open. All of the centers in your human design are open. And that means that all you can do is absorb the energy from around you. The tendency would be to amplify that energy and rebroadcast it, exhausting you in the process. So you need lots of time for that rejuvenation and that, you know, time to re-energize yourself away from other people, away from the madding crowd. Marissa says, helps this generator. Awesome. Catherine Worcester, good morning to you. Okay, so I am pretty much done with the astrology of the day. And I told you this week would be quiet, but somehow we seem to manage to keep going. But I wanted to leave you with a couple of quotes from that article. I mean, I could literally sit and read that article to you. It was just so well written. But there were a couple of quotes that he says that I took from his article that gave me pause because it sounded so Chiron in Aries. And I love it when I can identify in the outer world something I'm reading, something I'm watching on TV that resonates with something astrological. And here were a couple of quotes that he said that made me go, whoa. In fact, the first one here is something we talked about yesterday. And it's this, quote, we have to define our common ground and then consciously build upon it. Different words from what I said yesterday, but I did say that we needed to find all those things that we have in common and we build on that, right? All of the things. We all want healthy children. We all want a healthy environment to live in. We all need and want to have good food, good nutritious food. And that starts with how we grow our food. And if we start, you know, focusing on all the things and all the ways in which we're alike, we find common ground. And if we build on that common ground, no matter what your ideology is or your political leanings, we have something that we can work with, right? Something that we can use and move forward with. So that was that quote. Here was the other quote, and this is highly chironic. Our independence as a nation is inseparable from our interdependence as a people. And now more than ever, we must transcend our tribalism to survive. I mean, just wow, right? Interdependence as a people. The fact that Chiron is in Aries tells us that this is what he's picking up, right? Because the gift, the high side, if you will, of Chiron in Aries is about recognizing interdependence, not codependent, not overly independent, but we are interdependent, that we have to be able to come together. We have to, in his words, transcend our tribalism to survive, transcending Neptune. So we have Chiron in Aries represented in that sentence. We have Neptune and the sextile to Saturn, which is the third one we'll experience next month. And the embodiment of our wisdom as spiritual beings, and then enacting that spiritual wisdom out there in the world. That is this whole article resonates with that. And it was the primary. Remember back when we did the webinar on 2019, we talked about two big repeating transits for the year. One was Jupiter squaring Neptune, which was bringing us into that spiritual realm again. And then Saturn sextile Neptune, also making it incumbent upon us to develop a spiritual practice and then to live by those spiritual concepts. More than ever, we need that, right? We need that. Read the article. I've already posted it on the Living Astrology Facebook page. Doesn't matter your political leaning, because I think every one of us can resonate with the fact that we feel very polarized. And that's the one thing that in polls around the nation, people say is the number one problem. And if we've recognized it, before you can solve any problem, you first have to be aware of it. And we are becoming very aware of the effect of this polarization. And note the quotes from people like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, I think it will give you chills because it did me. Okay, that is it for me. Oh, how did I lose that? Okay, there we go. Angela, good morning. She says, here late, but happy to be here this morning at all. Or happy to be here. Good morning, all. Read the commas. Thank you, Angela. We're glad to have you here as well. Don't forget, today, 4 p.m., I will be on the Wisdom of the Ancients Summit with Ian Shelley, who turns out is a neighbor. He lives not too far from me on a neighboring island here. I was really shocked by that, and I'm excited to be interviewed. We will be talking about dimensional astrology, how it is that I weave all of these systems together and create dimension in who you are and in what is happening in our world. And that will be at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. East Coast time. I do believe there is also the ability for you to send me questions, and I will be there to do a couple of readings for people. So if that is something you're interested in, the link is already on my the Wisdom of the Ancients link is already on my Living Astrology Facebook page. You just click that, follow it, sign up for the talk, and you're in. You'll get the links and everything. Okay, that is it for me today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. It's lovely to be here. Lovely to see you all. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I will see you tomorrow morning at Halloween. I wonder, do I have a costume for tomorrow? We'll see. All right, guys. Much love to everybody. See you tomorrow.